Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 4th, 2017. Turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please don't hang up. Just leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in emergencies, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service or email also. And if by your request, we'll take them to Mission Church, anoint them with oil, and mail them back to you. So pray about that. We do have a prayer request form or contact form on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Quito, Ecuador, Kampala, Uganda, Tehran, Iran, Westminster, London, the United Kingdom, Athens, Greece, and of course cities here, right here in the good old USA, such as Buffalo, New York, Long Beach, California, Toledo, Ohio, Fort Worth, Texas, Washington, D.C., as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. And if you wonder who comes in second, that is usually Washington, D.C. So I guess them folks over there just need our program to exist, right? I'm just joking. Anyway, well, let's recognize, though, that today is National Prayer Day and that President Trump signed an order to destroy the Johnson Amendment. Yes, the late President Johnson had an amendment that stopped preachers from talking politics from the pulpit. So I say to you church pastors, the ball is back in your court. Stand up and speak out about the things that are evil. You're not being forced to be politically correct now, so you now have no excuse. There is no cover for being quiet. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guests. But, Father, please give us your spirit so that what comes out tonight will be the truth and give everyone ears to hear. Lift the veil from their eyes and from their ears. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, how many of you out there waiting on the temple to be built before Yeshua's returns? Well, years ago, you know, I used to buy into that, but after just studying the Word and reading the Word over and over, it just doesn't seem to point to that. Instead, it points to Yeshua building the temple. Okay, so many say the Antichrist has a place to sit and defile it, so it must be built. So will they build a temple? I think the world wants a temple. And Trump, President Trump, I hate to just call him Trump because he is president now. You have to honor the office of the presidency. And President Trump may just help that process, thinking that he's doing the right thing, as would many Christians. You heard us talk in past weeks about Bible codes. We talk more and more about ancient evil, and boy, there is still, that search is going on, and there is still more and more coming out. Originally, I was going to talk about that, but the researcher that's doing it tried a code I gave him, and tonight, we'll talk about a code that could well be very, very profound. We bring back on with us Tom Mack. He's a school principal and owner at White Cottage Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He has an A-plus certified computer technician, a NET certified network technician, as well as a book designer, webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, an IT manager and controller. We should all mention one time he was a tax specialist. That makes him good with numbers. That's what you have to have for Bible codes. He's not some fly-by-night person at any rate. He is well-suited to be doing Bible codes, and he's a very credible witness. Tom started his research with Bible codes in 1996. That is 20-plus years of code research. So tonight we go further, and we talk about the codes. And so let's welcome now Tom Mack. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, and thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really glad to have you back on, and needless to say, we did the first, you did the code for us, and it came up with the ancient evil, and then you said to your surprise that there was more that kept coming out about that. What caused you to switch gears and run this one that I suggested?
Because you asked twice.
Because I asked twice.
When somebody asks me that twice, It means something to them, and they care about it. And you know, I have to admit, I listened to Gershom Solomon and the Temple Mount Faithful. You can click on that particular web page. I've put up a web page on this now. You just go to BibleCodes.co, and on the right side, where they have links to all the Bible codes, there is one there called the Final Temple. I call it that because eventually I'm hoping that when we get done doing these codes, that I will get a picture of the Final Temple, the one Jesus is going to build.
Well, in the book of Ezekiel, the temple's laid out. We call it Ezekiel's temple. And, you know, there's other than in Ezekiel, there's several places in Ezekiel that point to Yeshua building the temple. You have the scripture up from Zechariah 6:12. You want to tell them about that?
Okay, let's go back to it. I'm just going to read it off the web page.
No, go right ahead.
And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the Branch. And that's a word I'm going to have to research. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Said it twice. And he shall bear the glory, and sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And I look at that, it's amazing what's said in just two verses.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the branch, and that is something that I'm going to have to write down and do some research on, because it should be pretty easy to make the connection between the branch and Yeshua HaMashiach.
Oh, well, amen. It's really clear, and the branch is used to describe Yeshua in Ezekiel, and you know that is clearly Yeshua. There's no real doubt about it. But you know, I would love to see whatever results you get for looking up branch and see what you come up with. But it's commonly accepted that the Torah points to the branch, and that is Yeshua, and that he would rebuild the temple. So So here's the problem now. Why do you think it is? First, let's go with this, because we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'd like to talk to you about it now. Why do you think that so many in Christianity are just screaming that the temple's going to be built before Yeshua's return? Why do you think that is with clear scripture like this?
Because man, by nature, is a religious creature. He does things that he thinks will try to appease God. They know their condition, and they think that if they do these things, they're somehow going to please the Lord. But if you go to 1 Samuel 15:23, he said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So, you know, obedience is what the Lord's looking for. He's not looking for us to build temples. And I mean, I get so sick of hearing another preacher say, "We've got to build a bigger building. God told me." As if, you know, that's...
Yeah.
It's
frustrating. Let me jump in on that a second. You know, it's really frustrating. And that is the heart of man. When, you know, right now, like down the street from our mission church, now we're in a dirt, a really hard part of the city, and they built it was a little church down the street. Well, another preacher came in and a few years back and, you know, turned it into a mega church. And they built it right there. And the poor really aren't welcome in that church. There's a basketball court in it, which, okay, a gym. But then they have a tennis court in it and a bowling alley. And so you wonder, the money that they're getting isn't for that kind of purpose, at least to my knowledge. The money that belongs to the Father that they're using for that is better spent where it should be, on evangelism and the poor. Back to you.
Yes, I still, years ago, when I was living in Texas, I'd go into Dallas, and one time my sister and I went to this Baptist church because we'd heard about that they had a Starbucks in there. And we were doing a newspaper at the time, and, you know, we wanted to see this. Well, about maybe a third of the way through the service, suddenly I had to go to the bathroom. So I stepped out, went to the bathroom, and on the way back, I saw this Starbucks. And I figured it would stop for the service. No, you could go get a coffee, even though the service is gone, because they have the service on the monitors. So what did I do? I got myself a coffee. A little sacrilegious, maybe, but I got a coffee. And then I thought, well, I better not take it into the main chapel. Maybe I should just wait out here. I can watch the service on the monitor. I'll finish my coffee and go back in. Well, a few other guys stepped out of the service too, and next thing you know, I was having a conversation with somebody, and sure enough, when the service was over, I was in trouble. Because why did you leave me in the service like that?
Well, there was a coffee shop out here.
It's
one thing to, you know, bring, if you have a table and you bring a drink into a, you know, like a Bible study or something like that. But these coffee bars, and it's a big thing. Churches are getting them all over the place. The point is, and I'm not, you know what, and I'm not even coming against the coffee bar. What I'm coming against is the thing that should draw you to the church is the message, the convictions in the message, and, you know, the Holy Spirit. You should be drawn by God, not because they have a good coffee bar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can play tennis or basketball.
Yeah, or go bowling. You know, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to go bowling after service. You want to come? You know, hey, well, yeah, man, I'm a bowler. You know, really? And there's the point. You know, there is the point. There's so much other they could better do with that money. These are, so it goes back to that, so that we see that spirit. So if they'll build churches with coffee bars, why wouldn't the mainstream churches be in agreement to build a temple in Israel? Back to you.
Exactly. But the big thing that's going to have to come out of this is money, and that's what's hampered the Temple Mount faithful and other groups from doing it. Though now the Temple Mount faithful, from what I'm seeing, they're starting to work with fundamentalist Christian groups to start raising the money. And then, of course, when Trump becomes president, what appears on their website? An appeal to Trump to do the right thing, to become like King Cyrus of Persia, which is a little ironic in a way, because Persia's Iran is really not the model we should be following at this point.
Yeah, we should never follow Persia. Persia is one of the last countries in Gog Magog. Let me go with this. Not only did we have this, let me just kind of tell my story for a second here, why that I believe about the temple. Well, Trump came into office, okay, and you know there, I believe that if anybody could bring some kind of stability to the Middle East, I believe that he could do it. I've been watching him like a hawk. I'm a news person, you know, I'm a researcher, and so I keep an eye on the news. And so, you know, I watched him, and the pieces started falling together. You know, he's making peace with like the King of Jordan, and they're talking about they're recognizing Israel as a country, something that they never did before, and their right to exist, and so on and so forth. So you can see the negotiation going on. The word is clear about there happened to be peace in Israel before Yeshua comes, before the Gog Magog battle, but going on from that. So then I watched other articles, and I'm like you, I seen the one about the Temple Mount faithful, but the one that got me really going was, and folks, you should get this, it's called Israel Breaking News. You look that up. Anyway, and it's from the Israel Breaking News, is from the point of view, a rabbinical, so to speak, point of view of prophecy and different things, and it tells what's going on in Israel, so on and so forth. So that's the point of view of the Jewish believers and the, as they call them, spiritual rabbis, and what they're looking for. Well, for one, they're looking for Messiah to return at any time, you know, but of course they believe in two Messiahs, and their Messiah, there is going to be a man, not a supernatural being. But so they called forth, and they believe that Trump and Putin together, in fact, they called for Trump and Putin to do what they should do and to God and rebuild the temple. So they were jointly calling for both leaders to do it. So, you know, and then we see the talk of Trump, you know, Trump wants to make peace with Putin. What better way than to come to, it would take both, here's the point, it would take both of these superpowers to come together in order for something like this to happen, and for also for peace to be in Israel of any sort. Well, so all of these signs kept hitting it, and so then when you came up with, you know, I started talking to you about Bible codes, and you asked me, you said, well, did I have a code? Well, I thought about it and prayed about it, and this is the big thing on my mind. I would wanted some insight, and so that kind of takes me where we're at. I believe, well, I'm not saying it's thus saith the Lord. I've had a lightning bolt hit me, but everything seems to point to it. Back to you.
Yes, and that's where, you know, I looked at this code, and oh boy, it did not come out well. You know, I did not think this was going to come out well, but what I got was a lot more than I expected. Not only that, they're doing the same thing over and over again. What did Solomon do? He set up a high place for Chemosh and for Molech. And for doing that, what did the Lord do? He said, I'm going to rip this kingdom out of your hand. And I'm going, uh-oh. And guess what appeared in this code? Chemosh and Molech. And, of course, the Masons appear in this code. And they have an affinity for both. You look at Albert Pike's ponderous tome, as I call it on the website, Morals and Dogma. They talk about Molech. And I don't know that he talks about Chemosh. I haven't looked at it well enough to figure that out, and honestly, I don't have the time to, nor would I want to. But
yeah, it's an incredibly evil book. I got somebody, I started to say bless me with a copy, gave me a copy a few years back, and after some study in it, I took it to the little church that I was helping out with at that time, and we took it out back and got a can and set it on fire. In fact, the police department showed up just as soon as somebody reported us setting a fire, and the police department showed up, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm burning Albert Pike's book," and it was quite an explanation, but, we, needless to say, we got to finish burning it anyway. I think, if I remember right, the it took a third officer showing up that seemed to be I don't like to use the word religious, but, more Christian or something, before the pass was given to go ahead and finish burning the book and not put it out. But anyway, we're already coming up to the halfway point. So why don't you tell them again where your websites are at? You got about a minute, and then we'll go to break and come back and tell us about what's more in this code. We'll talk.
Okay. The website that we're talking about tonight is BibleCodes.co for Colorado. Not com, it's CO. If you do BibleCodes.com, you'll get another person who, honestly, I don't think does very well with the codes. He tries to draw pictures with them, and sometimes we get pictures, but that's not my goal with it. And that apparently is his goal, and that's not very mathematically verifiable. My main website is WhiteStoneFoundation.org, and it's sort of a cover for all the things we do. And there's a number of things we do. There's AntichristWatch.org, different story there on what the Antichrist is and is not.
Okay, brother, I'm going to have to break in. It's time for a break. Folks, I just sent a link to prophecyhour.com. You can find the temple thing. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, Bibles, all sorts of things. So pray about it, folks. Pray about it. We don't get any hope from any local in Wichita organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us that we're now, we're going to start our 18th year next month in June that this mission church has been around. So we've been doing this by faith for 18 years, or starting our 18th year, rather, whatever. Anyway, and we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even care to drive through after dark, and it really isn't that safe to walk through in the daytime. So why do so many people come to us for help? I mean, why to us? We're such a little place. Why do they come to us? Well, because they're treated as family. We give them relationships. People walk in the door and ask for what they need because there's no set guidelines. I don't have a checklist that I make everybody go down and say, well, this is what, fill this out like an agency and we'll see if we can help you. Well, we don't do that. I just hear their story, and if I don't have a way to fulfill their need, then we pray with them and try and pray it in. In fact, so many people come to us for just miracle prayers, people from all over the city. And I've had people come from all over the United States that have showed up and have asked for prayer because they want to be anointed with oil, they want hands laid on them, and it brings them by faith. So it's a place of miracles, it really is. But so why do the agencies even tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church? You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People have millions of dollars in their budget. Send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as radio airtime is not free, and it costs a lot to keep this on the air. So pray about donations, because you know, this program sells nothing, and we're just here by the grace of the Father. And so pray about it, being a supporter. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. And now we're back talking about Bible Codes, the temple, and the future temple, whether that may be of man or of the Father, who's going to build it? With Tom Mack. Are you still with me, Tom?
I'm here.
Amen. Well, going back to the code, and folks, I hope you clicked over on, if you're on a way to look at this, there's a lot of other things in this code. You would think with the temple, if it was a positive thing, you wouldn't see all these other things in it, would you?
No. I hardly think I would see, for example, Malia, which is a daughter of Lilith. What's she doing with this thing? What's her interest? Well, of course, Lilith has connections to the Catholic Church. So Catholic Church is definitely not going to be out of this, because it's a big deal for them as well.
Well, and you know, the Catholic Church, now, I have heard rumors ever since I got into Bible prophecy deeply way back in the 90s, that we heard talk of actually control of the temple now in Jerusalem, that the Catholic Church was fighting for power over it, and that one day there may even be a deal made for the Catholic Church and the Jerusalem or the temple. Have you heard anything like that?
Oh, yes. I've heard quite a bit. In fact, why do you think Yasser Arafat went to the Vatican so many times before he was... I think he was murdered, but I don't think he was murdered by the people who think he murdered him. I think he was getting a little... I think the New World Order people took him out because he was getting a little bit too high and mighty, and he was supposed to do what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it, so, well, things happen. So
yeah,
basically...
Go ahead.
And so you see Lilith's daughter, and what is Lilith's daughter doing there? Her main claim to fame was turning Dracula into a vampire.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that if you have some information on it.
Yes. As it turns out, she is probably one of the number one seductresses of all time. She preys on men. She looks to win control over them, get them to do what she wants, even though I hardly would call her a she, because she's not like any woman I would respect. But it's a name that's in here. Shamash, as we said before the break, Solomon building a temple to Shamash in Jerusalem got him kicked off, as it did building one to Molech. And believe me, I've quoted the scriptures in there about what the Lord will do to somebody and their families if they have their children pass through the fire to Molech. And, of course, Moloch's the one that they worship in California at that crazy ritual every year that all our political leaders go to.
You're talking about Burning Man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an incredible thing. And, folks, if you've never heard of Burning Man and what we're talking about, it is a huge pagan, free drugs, free sex, everything imaginable or unimaginable. And you can look it up. You just look up Burning Man Festival, and it's, I don't know how many years it's been running. Do you know?
Longer than I. In fact, I don't know the time when it didn't run.
Yeah, absolutely. It increases in size every year, and more people are coming to it. And, you know, even the rich and well-to-do are there now I guess they have a trailer park city or something like that almost right next to it.
Exactly.
So it's really quite a thing. And it's paid. And look where it's coming from. You know, this is coming from that West Coast. And, you know, we here in the Bible Belt, you know, I mean, I'm here in Kansas, brother. And, you know, these things, while people talk about them off and on or whatever, you know, it's just not commonplace. You know, that evil isn't really manifested itself like it does on both the coasts as of yet. So a lot of people are caught unaware of these things. They don't realize it. You know what I mean? Back to you.
Exactly. But to see this, and to see that they're bringing this back to Jerusalem, I mean, Donald Trump needs to take this to the heart. This can destroy his presidency. It can destroy the United States of America. It can literally destroy everything just by being involved in this.
Right. And by allowing it to go on in the country. I think he threw the ball back in. I think he really is honestly trying to do the things that he said on the campaign trail, you know. But one of that test was today. Today, by the way, National Prayer Day. He signed the commitment to destroy the Johnson Act, which now, and I keep emphasizing this, tell your pastor, you're now free to speak against evil without fear of jail or losing your 501(c) covering, which they shouldn't have feared anyway, but lot use that as an excuse.
Well, 501(c)(3) is not the way a church should be formed anyway. If you get your publication 557 out, there is a place for church organizations, which the IRS has little or no jurisdiction over. I think the only jurisdiction they have is if you're defrauding the government by doing it. Because one of my little jobs when I was with the Iowa Department of Revenue was I was the temporary director of exempt organizations. So I filled out paperwork for them and run them through. And so I know a little bit about it. I've talked to IRS people in that capacity. And so a lot of these people have gotten very bad legal advice. They get talked into a corporation, and they end up in this mess. And that's my micro sermon. Let's get back to this code.
Amen. I agree, but for the record, Messiah's Branch isn't a we are not a corporation. We're a church. Anyway, but going off of that, but there's the point. If they're free to talk now, they're free to speak up against this evil. And so the evils like this, these things in California, they should speak against. But back to this code. Now, you have other things in this code, like, I mean, come on. I mean, there's Babylon's in it, you know, defiles in it, terrors in it, you know.
Right.
But now, here's a good one, though. Why do you think Elijah's in it?
Okay. When I started seeing Elijah and the two witnesses and the two olive trees in this code, it told me there's going to be some people that will stand up. And I think Elijah, we're actually going to see who he is, and we're going to hear him very vocally stand against this. And, of course, I don't expect our religious people in this country to recognize who he is or regard him. They're going to call him a nut, a fanatic. And I would be very careful about calling people things like that, because they could be speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And when you look at the two witnesses, you know, some people say Elijah's one of the two witnesses. I don't subscribe to that, and I don't think the Bible does. Because the two witnesses are close relatives of Christ. You know, Joseph Arimathea was the uncle of Christ, and Lazarus was also an uncle. They actually have the predominance to the throne of Israel at this point. They don't lose it until the beast kills them. Then Jesus can stand up and take the throne, because he's still alive. And they're not going to kill him.
Yeah.
And even the two witnesses are going to show back up. But these guys, I don't know if they're going to show up and actually speak as well. Because if they do, we have a timeline in Revelation 11:3 we got to think about. That they have so many days, 2,560 days, to speak on this. And this thing, that means we've got a 3.5-year clock going the second they start speaking. I don't know that they will. The code doesn't tell me. Or at least I haven't been able to find it, that they're going to speak.
Well, if it did, then it would reveal a date and time that I don't think that we're supposed to know. You know, I will clearly know when that countdown starts, when they start talking in Jerusalem, you know, and speaking against things. And they start doing signs and wonders, and the whole world recognizes them. I don't understand how people come to the... There's another one of those things. How is it that people can read that in their word, but yet come to the conclusion that the two witnesses aren't world? Or some say, well, that's the Old and the New Testament, or some other garbage. And I'll say garbage because it's literal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. This is as I say, these guys... They're going to do something. They've been working behind the scenes in world history for a long time. You know, my friend Olaf found that they were helping Jerome with the Vulgate. Also, found Joseph there from Matthias spending a lot of time in Glastonbury, England. Interestingly, about the time they were doing the King James Bible. So he might have been the 50th man that helped with the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and made sure that the King James Version would be the one that stands out of all these others. Because, you know, yeah, they come out with hundreds of Bible versions,
right.
And the trouble is, most of them, the only thing they do is reflect some translator's opinion. They don't render word for word or try to. And yes, there's a few things that I would have liked to have seen them do differently, but I'm not the one sitting there. They are. And so I'm the one that has to be corrected. And yes, the codes have shown me a few things that I learned, but it doesn't contradict the King James Version.
Well, just the words itself, translation, gives way to something, you know. In order to be translated, to be recopyrighted, it has to be different from other versions. And so they have to change, you know, so much of it, you understand what I'm saying, in order to even be legal and be able to be copyrighted. So with more and more and more and more translations that are in the market, they've either got to subtract or dramatically cut up things that shouldn't be cut up, so to speak.
Well, I remember the biggest thing about the King James Version is there is no copyright on it. If you want to pick up and start printing King James Bibles, you're more than free to. There is no copyright on it. And that's where places like Riverside Bible House in Iowa Falls, Iowa, they were one of the number one printers of King James versions until their plant burned down a few years ago. I wonder why that happened. because they said it was arson.
Iowa Falls, Iowa. I have one of my volunteers for the kitchen, and he came in one day because we use King James Bible. What I use in the Wichita Mission Church, folks, we use a King James Bible. We use a Strong's Concordance. That's about where we get to our things. A lot of the guys, some of the other guys have some different Messianic translations, but when we read together. We read out of the King James Bible. But anyway, he took his, and that's what I give out, his large print King James Bibles. Anyway, he took his into a predominant church down the street, and the pastor there got angry at him when he saw the Bible and told him to get the devil's Bible out of that church. What do you think about that, Tom?
Whoa! I've never heard anybody quite call it that.
Well, I hadn't either until this.
Now, yes, I know that the Masonic Bible is the King James Bible. And they haven't changed it from then till now. And George Washington's Bible was a Masonic Bible, but it was a King James Version. However, I would venture to say it was not the 1769 version that we use now. I got a feeling it still got... Because one of the things they didn't understand when they first did the King James Bible... is they didn't understand editing. They didn't have the translators look at the proofs because printing was very new in those days. The Gutenberg Bible had only been done about 50 years prior, and it was done in German. And so this was really the first attempt in England to really do a Bible and do it in somewhat of a normal language, because the biggest problem with Bibles in the early days is there was no dictionary. We just, when we can't figure out how to spell a word, we go get a dictionary and look it up, or we go to dictionary.com, or in the publishing business you use a Merriam-Webster dictionary, and that's the final authority on whether a word's spelled right. Well, the King James translators did not have that available to them. So they just basically spelled it the best they could. Right. And so by 1769, though, language was starting to get standardized, and more people knew how to read and write than ever before, and so it became important to have standardized spelling for words. And then in the United States, we decided to depart from the King's English in a number of ways, like putting a U next to an O and say the word color, whereas they spell it C-O-L-O-U-R, we take that U out, which to me makes more sense, but that's just me. But in any case, we saw a change, and the King James Bible actually standardized the English language. A lot of old sayings come from the King James Bible. And so it's still reliable. And Flesh Kincaid said it was the easiest to read of all the new versions. That's something.
Yeah, they did a study on that. Absolutely. Let me intercede real quick, because I got a question I want to ask before we run out of time. First, I do want to say we've even taught a girl that came to our Bible study how to read by using the King James Bible. But moving on from that, have you ever seen in any other code these words that are in it? And it's almost at the bottom, about the fourth one from the bottom, and it says, will you change it? Have you ever, what does that mean? And have you ever seen anything like that in the code?
Yes, I have. It actually, they found it for the first time back in about 1996. When they started seeing Benjamin Netanyahu codes. And people got to Benjamin Netanyahu, said these Bible codes say you're going to get killed if you don't do something about it. Well, he upped his security, changed his schedule, didn't publish his schedule, still doesn't. And sure enough, he was not killed. If there are times when the Bible codes say you can change an event. And I think that's what the Lord's telling us today with this, is we can change this. This is not set in stone. We can get Trump to change his mind. I know this is the most ambitious building project he would ever involve himself with. But when you see all these creepy characters in it, you better just stay away. You better just... And I would also share
that's
this with...
That's what he is, though. But, you know, it just hit me, you know. That why wouldn't Trump want to build it? That's what he is he builds things. You know, he builds
yes,
all the towers.
He's the art of the deal. And this would be the crowning... This would be the crowning gem in his crown. This would be the perfect jewel in his crown. So it's going to be hard to convince him not to do this. And it's going to be equally hard to get President Putin not to do this. Because these men talk quite frequently. And I know what they're after. They are looking for that crown jewel in their rules, whether it be Russia or the United States. And Trump, even from his early days, when he was campaigning, he had contact with Russia. In fact, when we first put that Trump code out, one of the first things I noticed he did when I knew that it had gotten to his campaign, suddenly... He's talking with the Russians, and suddenly Putin's sending over his best Spetsnaz people. Those are sort of his Green Berets, his SEALs. And suddenly they're part of his security team, which I don't think Hillary was counting on.
Yeah, and they wanted to assassinate him. And there's a huge, probably ought to do a program on that. Well, you know, we really run out of time. We're going to have to probably do the next program because it seems like every time we get involved, we just do 1 hour. We don't get enough talked out. Tell them where your website is because we run out of time again. And, folks, I strongly encourage you to go over there and read what's over there. Make contact with us about this. Okay, tell them and say goodbye, please.
Okay. This is BibleCodes.co, and as I say, it's the largest U.S. produced Bible code site, not the largest in the world, but one of the largest in the U.S. And just go to BibleCodes.co because I'm in Colorado, and you know, one state over from Dan. And I thank everybody for listening and. If you have questions, email me, tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. Just if you have questions, let me know. And you think there's words in my code, you know, write me. I'll try them. You know, this is not the Tom Mack Show. Bible codes were around long before there was a Tom Mack. And, yes, I know I was thought of because in the book of Genesis my name is encoded.
Well, amen. We'll ask about that on a future program, of course. But Tom, I got to really go. So, folks, go over and check out Tom. Tom, thanks for being with me. And you
sure,
be blessed, brother.
We'll
talk again soon. All right, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.